The First Letter of Peter, Chapter 1. From Peter, Apostle of Jesus Christ, to all those living as aliens in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. To those whom God the Father has called according to his plan, and made holy by the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be purified by his blood, may grace and peace increase among you. You have been saved. Let us praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his great mercy. In raising Jesus Christ from the dead, he has given us new life and a living hope. The inheritance that does not corrupt, nor goes bad, nor passes away, was reserved for you in heaven, since God's power shall keep you faithful until salvation is revealed in the last days. There is cause for joy, then, even though you may, for a time, have to suffer many trials. Thus will your faith be tested, like gold in a furnace. Gold, however, passes away, but faith, worth so much more, will bring you, in the end, praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ appears. You have not yet seen him, and yet you love him. Even without seeing him, you believe in him and experience a heavenly joy beyond all words, for you are reaching the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This was the salvation for which the prophets so eagerly looked when, in days past, they foretold the favor of God with regard to you. But they could only investigate when the Spirit of Christ, present within them, pointed out the time and the circumstances of this, the sufferings of Christ, and the glories which would follow. It was revealed to them that they were working not for themselves, but for you. Thus, in these days, after the Holy Spirit has been sent from heaven, the gospel preachers have taught you these mysteries, which even the angels long to see. Be holy. So then, let your spirit be ready. Be alert with confident trust in the grace you will receive when Jesus Christ appears. Like obedient children, do not return to your former life, given over to ignorance and passions. Imitate the one who called you. As he is holy, so you too be holy in all your conduct. Since Scripture says, "Be holy, for I am holy." You call upon a Father who makes no distinction between persons, but judges according to each one's deeds. Take seriously, then, these years which you spend in a strange land. Remember that you were freed from the useless way of life of your ancestors, not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without spot or blemish. God, who has known Christ before the world began, revealed him to you in the last days. Through him, you have faith in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, in order that you might put all your faith and hope in God. In obeying the truth, you have gained interior purification, from which comes sincere mutual love. Love one another, then, with all your heart, since you are born again, not from mortal beings, but with enduring life through the Word of God who lives and remains forever. It is written, all flesh is grass, and its glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This word is the gospel which has been brought to you. The first letter of Peter, chapter 2. Christ is the cornerstone. So give up all evil and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and every kind of gossip. Like newborn children, seek eagerly for the pure milk of the Word that will help you grow and reach salvation. Did you not taste the goodness of the Lord? He is the living stone rejected by people, but chosen by God and precious to Him. Set yourselves close to Him, so that you too become living stones built into a spiritual temple, a holy community of priests offering spiritual sacrifices that please God through Jesus Christ. Scripture says, see, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone. Whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. This means honor for you who believed, but for unbelievers also, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and it is a stone to stumble over, a rock which lays people low. They stumble over it in rejecting the word, but the plan of God is fulfilled in this. You are a chosen race, a community of priest kings, a consecrated nation, a people God has made His own to proclaim His wonders. For He called you from your darkness to His own wonderful light. At one stage, you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received His mercy, but now you have been given mercy. Live a blameless life. Beloved, while you are strangers and exiles, I urge you not to indulge in selfish passions that wage war on the soul. Live a blameless life among the pagans, so when they accuse you falsely of any wrong, they may see your good works and give glory to God on the day He comes to them. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority. The king as chief authority, the governors as sent by him to punish evildoers and to encourage those who do good. And God wants you to do good, so that you may silence those fools who ignorantly criticize you. Behave as free people, but do not speak of freedom as a license for vice. You are free men and God's servants. Reverence each person. Love your brothers and sisters. Fear God and show respect to the emperor. Servants must respect their masters, not only those who are good and understanding, but also those who are difficult. For there is merit in putting up with unprovoked suffering for the sake of God. What merit would there be in taking a beating when you have done wrong? But if you endure punishment when you have done well, that is a grace before God. This is your calling. Remember Christ, who suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his way. He did no wrong, and there was no deceit in his mouth. He did not return insult for insult. And when suffering, he did not curse, but put himself in the hands of God who judges justly. He went to the cross bearing our sins on his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live an upright life. For by his wounds you have been healed. You were like stray sheep, but you have come back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The first letter of Peter, chapter 3. Duties of husbands and wives. In the same way, wives must be submissive to their husbands. If any of them resists the word, they will be won over without words by the conduct of their wives. It will be enough for them to see your responsible and blameless conduct. Do not be taken up with outward appearances, hairstyles, gold necklaces, and clothes. There is something more permanent that shines from within a person, a gentle and peaceful disposition. This is really precious in God's eyes. This was the way the holy women of the past dressed. They put their trust in God and were obedient to their husbands, namely Sarah, who had such respect for Abraham that she called him her Lord. You are her children if you do what is right and are not afraid. Husbands, in your turn, be sensible in your life together. Be considerate, realizing that the woman is of a more frail disposition and that you both share in the gift of life. This will prevent anything from coming in the way of your prayer. Finally, you should all be of one mind. Share each other's troubles with mutual affection. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or answer one insult with another. Give a blessing instead, since this is what you have been called to do, and so you will receive the blessing. For if you seek life and want to see happiness, keep your tongue from evil and your mouth from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, because the Lord's eyes are turned to the just, and his ears listen to their appeal. But the Lord frowns on evildoers. Do not fear or be disturbed. Who can harm you if you devote yourselves to doing good? If you suffer for the sake of righteousness, happy are you. Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed as they are, but bless the Lord Christ in your hearts. Always have an answer ready when you are called upon to account for your hope, but give it simply and with respect. Keep your conscience clear so that those who slander you may be put to shame by your upright Christian living. Better to suffer for doing good, if it is God's will, than for doing wrong. Endure sufferings as Christ did. Remember how Christ died once and for all for our sins. He the just one, died for the unjust in order to lead us to God. In the body, he was put to death. In the spirit, he was raised to life. And it was then that he went to preach to the imprisoned spirits. They were the generation who did not believe when God, in his great patience, delayed punishing the world while Noah was building the ark, in which a small group of 8 persons escaped through water. That was a type of the baptism that now saves you. This baptism is not a matter of physical cleansing, but of asking God to reconcile us through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. He has ascended to heaven and is at the right hand of God, having subjected the angels, dominations, and powers. The first letter of Peter, chapter 4. Given that Christ suffered in his human life, arm yourselves with this certainty. The one who suffers in his body has broken with sin, so as to spend the rest of his life following the will of God and not human passions. You have given enough time in the past to living as the pagans do, a life of excess, evil passions, drunkenness, orgies, and worship of idols. They now find it strange that you are no longer swept along with them in this ruinous flood, and then abuse you for it. But they will be accountable to the one who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The gospel has been preached to many who are now dead. As humans, they received a deadly sentence, but through the Spirit, they shall live for God. The end of all things is near. Keep your minds calm and sober for prayer. Above all, let your love for one another be sincere, for love covers a multitude of sins. Welcome one another into your houses without complaining. Serve one another with the gifts each of you received, thus becoming good managers of the varied graces of God. If you speak, deliver the word of God. If you have a special ministry, let it be seen as God's power, so that in everything God may be glorified in Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Be glad to share in the sufferings of Christ. My dear people, do not be surprised at the testing by fire which is taking place among you, as though something strange were happening to you. Instead, you should be glad to share in the sufferings of Christ, because on the day his glory is revealed, you will also fully rejoice. You are fortunate if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, for the Spirit of glory rests on you. I suppose that none of you should suffer for being a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or an informer. But if anyone suffers on account of being a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace. Rather, let this name bring glory to God. The time of judgment has come, and it begins with God's household. If its beginning so affects us, what will be the end of those who refuse to believe in the gospel? If the just one is barely saved, what will happen to the sinner and unbeliever? So then, if you suffer according to God's will, entrust yourself to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. The First Letter of Peter, Chapter 5. Further Admonitions. I now address myself to those elders among you. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, hoping to share the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock which God has entrusted to you, guarding it, but not out of obligation, but willingly for God's sake, not as one looking for a reward, but with a generous heart. Do not lord it over those in your care. Rather, be an example to your flock. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will be given a crown of unfading glory. In the same way, let the younger ones among you respect the authority of the elders. All of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives his grace to the humble. Bow down, then, before the power of God, so that he will raise you up at the appointed time. Place all your worries on him, since he takes care of you. Be sober and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Stand your ground, firm in your faith, knowing that our brothers and sisters scattered throughout the world are confronting similar sufferings. God, the giver of all grace, has called you to share in Christ's eternal glory, and after you have suffered a little, he will bring you to perfection. He will confirm, strengthen, and establish you forever. Glory be to him forever and ever. Amen. I have had these few lines of encouragement written to you by Silvanus, our brother, whom I know to be trustworthy. For I wanted to remind you of the kindness of God, really present in all this. Hold on to it. Greetings from the community in Babylon gathered by God, and from my son, Mark. Greet one another with a friendly embrace. Peace to you all who are in Christ. The Second Letter of Peter, Chapter 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been sanctified by our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and have received a faith as precious as ours. May grace and peace abound in you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We share in the divine nature. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and piety. First, the knowledge of the One who called us through his own glory and might, by which we were given the most extraordinary and precious promises. Through them, you share in the divine nature, after repelling the corruption and evil desires of this world. So, strive with the greatest determination, and increase your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with moderation, moderation with constancy, constancy with piety, piety with mutual affection, mutual affection with charity. If all these graces are in you so as to abound in you, you will not be idle and useless. You will rather be rooted in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whoever is not aware of this is blind and short-sighted, and is forgetful of the cleansing of former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, strive more and more to respond to the call of God who chose you. If you do so, you will never stumble. Moreover, you will be generously granted entry to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I shall always remind you of these things, though you know them and remain firm in the truth that you have. It seems fitting that as long as I live in the tent of this body, I refresh your memory of them, knowing that my tent may soon be folded up as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. I will nonetheless endeavor to see that after my departure, you will be constantly reminded of all this. The foundation of faith. Indeed, what we taught you about the power and the return of Christ Jesus our Lord was not drawn from myths or formulated theories. We ourselves were eyewitnesses of His Majesty when He received glory and honor from God the Father, when the magnificent glory, this most extraordinary word, came upon Him. This is my beloved Son. This is my chosen one. We ourselves heard this voice from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Therefore, we believe most firmly in the message of the prophets, which you should consider rightly as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the break of day, when the morning star shines in your hearts. Know this well. No prophecy of Scripture can be handed over to private interpretation. Since no prophecy comes from human decision, for it was men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, who spoke. The Second Letter of Peter, Chapter 2. False Teachers. Just as there have been false prophets in the midst of the people of Israel, so will there be false teachers among you. They will introduce harmful sects, and by denying the Master who saved them, they will bring upon themselves sudden perdition. Many, nonetheless, will imitate their vices, and because of them the way of truth will be discredited. They will take advantage of you with deceitful words for the sake of money. But the judgment made upon them long ago is not idle, and the destruction awaiting them is not asleep. In fact, God did not pardon the angels who sinned, but cast them into hell, confining them in the dark pits, keeping them there until the day of judgment. Neither did He pardon the ancient world when He unleashed the waters of the flood upon the world of wicked people, but protected only Noah, the preacher of righteousness, along with seven others. God also condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, to serve as a warning to the wicked in the future. But He saved Lot, a good man, deeply afflicted by the unbridled conduct of those vicious people. For Lot, a righteous man who lived in their midst, suffered day after day in the goodness of his heart as he saw and heard of their crimes. So then, the Lord knows how to free from trial those who serve him and keep the wicked for punishment on the day of judgment. He will do this especially for certain people who follow the baser desires of their nature and despise the Lord's majesty. Proud and daring, they are not afraid of insulting fallen spirits, while the angels, who are superior to them in strength and power, do not permit themselves any injurious accusation in the presence of the Lord. Those people are like irrational animals, born to be caught and killed. After they have slandered what they cannot understand, they will end like animals, and they will suffer the repayment of their wickedness. They delight in giving themselves to depravity even in the daytime. They are deceiving you even when they are sharing your table. With their eyes always looking for adultery, they do not tire of sinning and seducing weak souls. They are full of greed, an accursed people. They abandoned the right way and followed Balaam, son of Beor, who was attached to what he gained from his wrongdoing. But he was rebuked for his sin. His she-ass began to speak with a human voice, stopping the prophet in his madness. These people are like waterless springs, clouds driven by a storm which move swiftly into the blackest darkness. With their boastful and empty discourses, they encourage the lust and impure desire of those who have just freed themselves from the common errors. They promise freedom when they themselves are slaves of corruption, for people are slaves to whatever dominates them. Indeed, after being freed from worldly vices through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they returned to those vices and surrendered to them, and their present state has become worse than the first. It would have been better for them not to know the way of holiness than, knowing it, to turn away from the sacred doctrine that they had been taught. In their case, these proverbs are relevant. The dog turns back to its own vomit, and hardly has the pig been washed than it again wallows in the mud. The Second Letter of Peter, Chapter 3. Dearly beloved, this is the second letter I write to you. In both of them, I have intended to remind you of sound doctrine. Do not forget the words of the holy prophets and the teaching of our Lord and Savior, as you heard it through his apostles. Remember, first of all, that in the last days, scoffers will appear, their mockery serving their evil desires. And they will say, "What has become of his promised coming? Since our fathers in faith died, everything still goes on as it was from the beginning of the world." Indeed, they deliberately ignore that in the beginning the heavens existed first and earth appeared from the water, taking its form by the word of God. By the same word of God, this world perished in the flood. Likewise, the word of God maintains the present heavens and earth until their destruction by fire. They are kept for the day of judgment, when the godless will be destroyed. Do not forget, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like 1 day. The Lord does not delay in fulfilling his promise, though some speak of delay. Rather, he gives you time because he does not want anyone to perish, but that all may come to conversion. The day of the Lord is to come like a thief. Then the heavens will dissolve with a great noise. The elements will melt away by fire, and the earth with all that is on it will be burned up. Since all things are to vanish, how holy and religious your way of life must be as you wait for the day of God and long for its coming, when the heavens will dissolve in fire and the elements melt away in the heat. We wait for a new heaven and a new earth in which justice reigns according to God's promise. Therefore, beloved, as you wait in expectation of this, strive that God may find you rooted in peace, without blemish or fault. And consider that God's patience is for our salvation, as our beloved brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom given him. He speaks of these things in all his letters. There are, however, some points in them that are difficult to understand, which people who are ignorant and immature in their faith twist, as they do with the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. So then, dearly beloved, as you have been warned, be careful lest those people who have gone astray deceive you in turn and drag you along, making you stumble and finally fall away. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and to the day of eternity. Amen.